Welcome to New England Lacrosse Journal's Chasing the Goal podcast, your destination for all things lacrosse. I'm your host, Kyle Devitt. Across the table, Mr.
Jack Patel.
How we doing?
I'm doing really well. Thank you. Appreciate you asking.
Are you?
Yeah.
Anytime, come on. What you got? What you got?
Anytime I can sit across from you makes my week, my day, my month. So, yeah. Hey, what do you think of the start of the lacrosse season? Some interesting games, huh? How about Notre Dame losing?
Yeah, I think it's great.
I do too.
I think everyone should lose. I'm sick of undefeated teams.
I couldn't agree more.
I'm excited. So I really actually want to focus more on Ivy League and NESCAC this year, just because that's the wheelhouse that we're in right now. But I do get to dip into the real rough games. And there's been, let me pull it back and ask you, overtime celebrations. Are we thinking they're a little out of control now?
I do.
Okay. Why do you think that?
It's not right place for the game. It's just it's about the game. It's not about you. And for the individual that scores the goal and celebrate with your teammates, because they're the ones that got you the ball.
Yeah.
It's about the team. It's not about the individual player, to be honest with you. And you know what? When you score overtime goal, there's no need to celebrate. You just won the game. Just go back to the line and shake the guy's hand.
Yeah.
Hey, I just knocked you off. All right? Keep your head high.
All right.
Yeah.
I would have thought you might have been into it a little bit.
No, I mean, a little celebration, but your teammates come in and jump around and things like that. But do you ever score a winning overtime goal?
No.
I probably could have answered that.
I tell you what, I drew up the play that won us the overtime goal in the semifinals against an undefeated team last year. And when I rushed the field,
I'm not talking about coaching. I'm talking about playing.
Well, I'm a much better coach than I was a player.
Okay,
we all know that.
Yeah, we do.
So I ran and jumped on the pile, and I immediately regretted it because I realized that I got out there a little quicker than everyone else, and I was at the bottom of the pile, and I was yelling, "Get off me! Get off me! Get off me!"
Producer Dave, are you surprised to hear that, Dave? That he was on the bottom of the pile?
Yeah.
Come on, Dave. You gotta. Yeah. Oh, geez, right. You did survive it.
I did.
I wouldn't be sitting across from you, and then we'd be a great day today.
I'm going to say I gave Jack the best compliment I've ever given him before we started this podcast, and now his ego is out of control, and we haven't even introduced our guest.
In order to be great, you have to have a little ego, you know?
Well, you got to believe in yourself.
You do.
It's number one.
You got a big ego? I don't know if you're great yet.
I don't have a big ego.
No, I'm kidding.
Compared to what I used to.
But I'll tell you something. Now, I can honestly tell our listeners, if you didn't know Kyle like I didn't know him, I met him once at a string thing.
Yep.
And you were stringing sticks back in the day, and that was at the lacrosse convention. And you walked in, you thought you were hot shit. You thought everybody would notice you. You thought people were going to ask you for your autograph, and you say hello, you walk the other way. And you're not that guy. You're actually a nice guy. And you actually have a great young lady in your life.
Oh my God.
And if anyone thought that you would have a nice young lady in your life back in the day, they'd say, no way. He's going to end up being single, living alone, growing old all by himself. Other than that, things are good. All right, we have a guest here.
Yeah. Let's bring in the guest. Let me do my job and bring in the guest.
We're having fun today, though. We're having fun. At least I am.
Yeah.
I know our producer is.
Greatest intro ever. New Attleboro head coach, Jim Black.
Yeah.
Guys, thanks for having me.
Hey, ready to take on the Hockamock.
Yeah, it's a monster of a league. I think when my wife goes to listen to this, she's going to go, how did you stay quiet that long? and the kids will say the same thing probably about May 1st. Yeah, it's a monster of a league. First of all, like everything that Coach Lou's done at Franklin, and I witnessed that with my own two eyes as a
Lou Rocky.
Yeah, phenomenal person. He built it through the town program, right? And he's a guy who just... he works, and his kids work. Matt Corvey, his goalie, is a bulldog with the organization I coach with. And I see how hard they work, and that's something that starts with culture, and then it builds from there. Mansfield's a handful. King Phillips, a handful. Ryan Izzo's got it going in the right direction at North Attleboro. And I don't even want to disregard any of the other teams. I'm still getting up to speed. But I've looked at the scores. I've watched as many games as I can on YouTube from last year. There weren't that many filmed exchanges, and I'm going, give me as much film as I can, because I want to. I've seen the kids play in the Winter League, that they do it four kicks, and they're an energetic bunch. There's a ton of athleticism. Just they need to be taught a little bit here and there, and I think we're going to have a lot of fun.
Well, let's kind of dive into your background first. Mm-hmm. You were a goalie?
I was, yes. I wasn't a good goalie, but I was a goalie. I was very fortunate to learn on the fly from a guy who I can still consider one of my good friends from college, Joe Evans. Joe has played box lacrosse for the last, I think we since we left college. He played at Salisbury after Dean. I was just the kid who our head coach, Sean McCabe, my freshman year, came into the athletic training room when I was recovering from a patella injury and said, you know, do you want to keep your athletic money here at school? And immediately said yes. I knew my mother couldn't, my father died when I was 16. I knew my mother couldn't afford the tuition all on her own. And everything work study went towards school. And long and short of it, I didn't know my, you already said shit, so I guess I can say this, my ass from my elbow. And I learned very quickly. And I still have some of my best friends who I talk to on a regular basis. But having two kids of my own now, what is a regular basis? So that's every few months or right. every year, so.
And that's at Dean?
Yes. Yep. So I was there from the fall of 07 through the spring of 09, and then I matriculated to the University of Rhode Island. And I went out for the club team, but I needed to pay for school. So I got two jobs. I worked at Wakefield Liquors as a cashier guy and climbed the ranks there. And then I bounced and barbacked at Poncho, another great spot in Narragansett. And I know you love Southern Rhode Island, Poncho O'Malley's, and worked for Georgie Lenahan down there and had a blast and learned a ton about that industry, which is what puts food on my table and pays my mortgage now. So
I just want to say this, that my oldest son played for King Philip, mm-hmm. and I started the youth program at King Philip youth program, and we've had some really good players come through there, and watching Attleboro over the years, they've really, really struggled to compete in that league. Mm-hmm. What steps are you going to take to get your team to compete against the Franklins and the North Attleboros?
It's a great question.
And where do you start?
I think it starts with culture, and the gentleman that I'm taking over from, Kevin Patton, wonderful guy. I've met him a couple times. I don't know much about him other than the interactions we've had. He's a wonderful, wonderful person. But what I've told the boys is it's a new chapter in the book. Everything's clean. For me, starting out, it was building a staff that has the right focus. So getting to really answer your question, step one was finding a junior varsity head coach who I literally told, I don't care if you win. I want you to develop them. As a JV guy, you get that. I mean, 100%. We share that.
Yes.
And that's something that was my calling card. I wanted to make sure that my guys were seamless when they got called up. And I've said that to Kevin Kopp, who's my JV coach. And I've also brought in a varsity volunteer who is going to be my defensive coordinator in Hunter Andruzzi, who's one of my closest friends. I got to know him through the Bulldogs. And Hunter and I have spent a ton of time together. I know he's a great teacher of the game. He was a very good player himself. And
Hunter played for me.
Yeah. Yep. Great kid. And he is somebody who I think the boys are going to learn a lot from. But the returner meeting told me a ton of what I needed to know. I went in, I was flying blind. There was one family from Attleboro that I knew. And other than that, I was kind of blind, not even knowing how many were in our Bulldogs organization. And I went in, went to the returners meeting, and I went down an expectation sheet and just said, this is my expectation of you. And none of it had to do with winning or losing or if you screw up, it's on you. None of that. All that stuff's got to get thrown away. First and foremost, it's where are we laying the foundation for the house? And every single young man I met with that day, there were 34 of them, firm handshakes and eye contact. And I went, okay, we've got something here. I'm trying to take a very collegiate approach in terms of making sure there's an understanding between the coaches and the players. We're here for you. We're here to be friendly with you, but we're not your friends. We're your coaches. And trying to also be there so that they know that they can talk to us about what they have going on in their life. Ironically enough, yesterday I was at school and walking the hall, there was a young man in front of me. And I just said, hey, how do you like going to school here? He turned around. And it's one of from coaching basketball for a long time with Expressions and high school in Rhode Island. It was my friend Tyrone Boswell's son, Ty. And I went, I didn't know you were here. Let's get a lacrosse stick in your hand. How do we do? I know Ty's a great athlete. So I think that's part of it, is ingratiating myself. I've heard from a lot of families, there was kind of a disconnect. There was a connection, but it wasn't ingratiated. I want it where the whole city's at our games. And I know that's not going to be an overnight process. My wife, a couple weeks back, asked me, this time of year, you're talking about what your goals are for your team and what you want to strive to help with the program at the varsity level. Now you're the guy. What's your goals? And I said, well, first and foremost, I want everybody to do as well in the building as they possibly can academically. And then we're going to have a ton of fun on the field if we take care of our academics. On top of that, I looked at their records over the last 8 years, and they've never been 500. So let's start there.
Yeah.
And then I learned, in the MIAA, you punch a ticket. So, boom, now we've got two goals that are great. I do want to go undefeated at home. That is more of a focus for me. That's a sense of pride for me, where I want people going, they look at the calendar and go, we're playing Attleboro. We're at Attleboro tonight. And I want them not coming in defeated, but I wouldn't mind living rent-free. I would like to build that mindset.
It's interesting because, like, I was in the exact position you're in. I'm not the head coach at Hopkinton, but I feel like I have a very strong influence on a lot of the kids, and being the JV coach, which I know you were at
Hendricken.
So the thing that comes with that is not only do people think it's just development of like, oh, I'm going to teach you how to do this, teach you how to do that. And it's like, it's kind of like you can, it's like teaching a wall how to be a wall. How to be something else? Can I teach a wall how to be a door?
You can't do that. How to throw, how to catch. It's how do you interact with people? Yes, sir. It's not a yes, sir. No, sir. You're not just saying somebody's last name. You're interacting with them. You're looking at them in the eye. I'm sorry. Right. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, it's fine.
I didn't mean to.
It's all right.
Experience I had when I was hired as the head coach right out of college. I had just gotten back from Australia, and that was really my only coaching experience. I coached youth and I played over in Australia in 86. And I applied for the job at Brookline High and I got hired. I was shocked that I got it. I mean, I'm 23 years old. And go out to practice the first time. And I'm putting in all these plays, man up, man down. Not the first practice, but that week and everything, and rides and clears and all that. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, all right, let's do it again. Let's do it again. Let's do it again. I realized the kids couldn't catch and throw, right? So what I focused on, bought my own case of balls, catching, throwing. Because if they can't, it's like hockey. If you can't catch and throw, you can't play lacrosse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially today.
Yeah.
You could get away maybe playing defense back in the day, be able to scoop up the ground ball and push the ball.
That's what my high school team did.
push the ball upfield.
Exactly.
But it's, I mean, My recommendation to you is skills is everything in the IQ, right? Yeah. Film and teaching these kids how to catch and throw. Now, Attleboro, when you talk about Attleboro High School, for me, what's the first thing that comes up in my football, right? King Philip, North Attleboro, those three teams in the Hockomock have been competing year in and year out.
It's all new to me.
Attleboro is football. They've had the players, they've had the athletes, they've never had lacrosse players.
Yeah, so I can, if I can jump in, one person that I immediately connected with once I got the job and I could kind of quietly start telling people, her name's Julie Doxey, and Julie is the boys coordinator for Titans, which is the youth program between Attleboro and Norton. And she's the one who shed the light on her, and Cody O'Donnell shed the light on how many Bulldogs were in our old club program. And I went, oh, wow, now I'm starting to watch these kids. And then I went to the first Saturday they had Titans just to interact. And you know, I think it's important people see my face and not necessarily hear my voice, but just so I can meet people and there's a sense of comfort. I joked with Tommy Sharon the other day that when I was there that I said, you can get kids from Milford, you can get kids from North Attleboro, city of Attleboro is on lock, leave us alone. But Julie brought it in, she broke it down, and we do have some good skill. I will say that. It's not a barren cupboard. It's just a matter of, like, I've had people ask me, so, like, what are you going to run? Like, what's 1-4-1? Listen, they have to learn how to play before we can run plays.
Yeah.
And I'm going blind other than what I've seen. And I said this to you guys off air, that I've watched every film I can. And there's some things I liked. There was a lot that I didn't, and that's obviously why I got hired. A lot of families are saying how excited they are and all that for the change, and I keep telling them there's only one person on record to have walked on water. It's not me. It's another guy that had the big beard and the long hair that I go hang out with on Sundays. So that said, it starts with the skills first and foremost, and then we can grow from there. The Hockamock is no joke, and we start with what's becoming a behemoth in my eyes is Bishop Feehan. So that's our first game right out of the gate at home, and then we go to Franklin. So I get to freeze on Beaver Pond, which I froze plenty in college, and we'll have fun with it. But going back to the Dean point, the game got introduced to me by my cousins who are from Cortland. My cousin Matthew played at Stevens Tech, and he was on the Outlaws team that won that last championship. And then my cousin Casey played soccer at Albany. So I had a stick in my hand. Unfortunately, with my father passing when I was a sophomore in high school, there was no time for me to be able to jump into a sport. And when I was at Hendricken, that was the number one thing you always got to ask. Oh, coach, what position did you play? My biggest regret when I was a student at Hendricken, in hindsight, is that I didn't play. Like Kevin Murray, people refer to him as Muggsy.
Rest his soul.
Absolutely. One of my favorite people. He was like a second dad to me. And I don't even know if the Murray boys realized how much I looked up to him. That first spring after my freshman year at Dean, I immediately came home. And I didn't mean to my house in North Providence. I meant 2615 Warwick Avenue. Like, hey, coach, like, can I be around the team? And absolutely, Jimmy. And I've gotten to know Steve and Cody very well over the last few years. I knew Coach Murray was one of my favorite people. And if anything, I want to make sure that I honor him every time we take the field. And it's going to be through grit and hard work. That's how we're going to get it done at first. And we're going to grow from there.
So I'm going to make a trade with you.
Yeah.
So most coaches that come on here, I ask them for their best drill. Mm-hmm. So I'm asking you that, but I'm going to give you the drill that changed my team last year.
Okay.
It's from Matt Brown at Denver. Mm-hmm. I call it the Denver drill. Okay. I don't remember what he called it. And that's the reason I call it the Denver drill, because it's from Denver. So if you have the crease, mm-hmm. the crease is here.
Yep.
The goal is not involved, but you use the crease as spacing. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you have one guy here, one of them has the ball. So you have two lines.
Okay.
They face each other. They hold the stick here. The stick has to rest on the shoulder. Eye contact with the person you're throwing to. They come up, sticks out, mm-hmm. cushion back, mm-hmm. touch the shoulder back, shuffling.
And we call it brownie.
No drops.
We call it brownie passing.
Yes.
I stole that too.
You named it brownie passing. That's amazing. I got to tell you, it changed my whole team.
Yep. And it's part of our core. So as a coach, for me, it doesn't just come from lacrosse. I've heard this podcast a bunch. I've heard you talk about hockey. For me, it's basketball and grass.
Yeah.
But some of my mentors, whether it be Jamal Gomes, the athletic director at Hendricken, Matt Clifford, the current Hendricken coach, was one of my best friends, or the football coach at Hendricken, who I played for and who was like a big brother to me, Keith Croft. And I remember to this day, I'm 36, this is 22 years ago, that every single freshman practice, we started with stations. And we built and we rotated the stations, and then we went into team, and then we'd go into an indie period, then we go back into team.
That's what we do.
And that's what I'm taking forward. That's what I did at Hendricken last year, and I plan to bring that forward. But yeah, I stole that drill. I love that drill.
It's a great drill.
It's part of our core that we start the day with.
Yeah. Well, give me your favorite one, though.
I call it mice in a maze. It's a ground ball drill.
All right.
So you take them from, you have hash marks on your field? Okay. So hash marks out to the box, and we work inside, and the team actually lines up around that rectangle.
Yeah.
And you have, we'll call it a door on one side and a door away from the coach and a door on the side, basically a space between the kids. Mm-hmm. And that's it. Only two doors in the maze. And two guys stand next to the coach, and they are facing the coach, eyes to the sky. Coach rolls the ball out. They have to turn and make a play for the ground ball. Whoever wins the ground ball has to get out of the maze, and it's not without contact. So it's not swinging sticks. It's measured, mm-hmm. but at the same time, it kind of creates the scrum or the muck up that's going to happen in a game. And I found this by necessity last year, mm-hmm. where I had guys who just couldn't. They could get the ball, and then they lose it every time. And
right.
It's like, okay, how do we keep it? Well, you got to deal with contact. So. Yeah. And what we did was, at a certain point last year, the winners got to celebrate together, and the losers had to do 10 push-ups, and we moved on.
Yeah.
Do you want to ask me what my favorite drill is?
Yes.
He's getting left out on an island.
He was waiting.
Bring the two goals about 15 yards, 20 yards apart, okay? Balls on the right side, goal line extended, let's say, right by the goal.
Yeah.
Okay. 30 balls, line behind it. On the other goal, you got balls on the right side, on the ground, 30 balls, line behind it.
So they mirror.
Right. So the player picks up the ground ball, right, scoops, runs the goal, shoots over the top. Got to shoot it over the top.
Yep.
Right. They keep going from one goal. And I'm a big believer in a lot of reps. And I'm a big believer in if you can try to start every drill with the ground ball, because ground balls are so important in the game, right? So you keep going. Progression. Next progression. Scoop the ball, switch hands, shoot it lefty. Next progression. Scoop the ball, roll. Shoot. Okay. All players love to shoot. I believe shooting is throwing, throwing is shooting, right? Mm-hmm. Work those fundamentals. Then put the balls on the other side. Now you work on the left side. Left.
Yep.
And so you're running, you're scooping ground balls, and you're getting a lot of touches, and the guy's got to hit the net, right? Hit the net. And then you can be very creative. You can have the two
throw
lines.
Throw a defender in.
Yeah,
no, you can scoop the ball and then have the guy from the other side hit him for a shot. And so you can do a lot with it by bringing the goals in, a lot of touches. True story. Let me just say this.
Yeah, go ahead.
And I had lunch with Steve Scheer, was the head coach at Dean for many, many years. And I had with Lou Baracchi, the head coach at Franklin. I coached with them when I was at Dean. Steve Scheer used to come out to practice, and he confirmed this on Monday. The athletic director at Dean would hand him a dozen balls for the entire season. So I used to go crazy, right? And then when I was at Bryan, a few years after that, I went to a Brown practice, and Tim Nelson was the coach there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He rolled out two wheelbarrows of balls.
Yeah.
So I've...
You got to have balls.
A family friend of mine who owns Blunt Soup, they were getting rid of, they move all their ingredients in tough buckets, like the big trash cans you'd see in the cafeteria. And he puts it on Facebook that he's going to sell them. And I texted him. I said, what are you doing with those? Where'd they come from? And I joked to Rhode Island. I said, you get them off the back of a truck, or what's the deal here? He goes, no, these are from the facility. I'm just trying to get rid of them. I said, I'll take four of them. And he goes, what are you going to do with them? I said, I'm going to put wheels on the bottom of them, and I'm going to store them as close to the field as we possibly can. And I am my athletic director, who has been phenomenal since taking this job. He, Mark Houle, has been awesome. He's a phone call away. He kind of yelled at me jokingly the other day, don't call my office line, call my cell phone, text me. It's an immediate connection. He's very similar to what I had at Hendrick and with Jamal. We've already become friends. And he asked me, he said, what do you need? What do we need for equipment? Do an audit of the program, figure out what we need. And I said, I'm going to go to the Booster Club for some stuff, but I need balls.
Yeah,
balls, balls, balls. So we talked. I sent him an email. I said, "Get me 600 balls." Girls say they only want 300, but I'll take another 300 on top of it. So I'll get us 1,200 balls. And he said to me yesterday, he goes, "So we're gonna get you the 600, and we'll work from there." I said, "That's fine." And I said, "That'll fill up the two buckets that I've already put the wheels on, so we're in a good spot."
Overreach.
Yeah,
get what you need.
Listen, my mother worked for the state. She worked at the General Assembly in Rhode Island. I grew up in politics. If you don't use the budget, or try to go above the budget, the budget gets less the next year. So yes. I'm trying to take that approach. And to build on that drill, you could add a defender, no stick.
Yeah.
So you're teaching body positioning. I like that. Might have to steal that and bring that back to Rhode Island for the Bulldogs.
Yeah.
You can call it Jacko drill, the Jacko.
Jacko drill. It's good. No, it's funny you talk about balls. That is, I don't want to like be like, hey, the Hopkinton High School owes me money for balls, but Hopkinton High School, you owe me money for balls.
Do you have a booster club up there?
We do. They don't let me talk
to them. There's got to be enough pizza joints.
They don't let me talk to anybody.
Yeah, so it's the most frustrating thing showing up at the field and you get 10, 12, 20, 25 balls.
Well, we have buckets, and we have like painter's buckets, because the head coach is a contractor. So we have painter's buckets, and if the balls aren't full, we do our end cheer, and we're like, fill this bucket.
Indigenous runs, if not.
Let's go.
I'm just joking.
Well, it's funny because like,
it now we said it when we were playing.
Our whole thing, and I think it's funny because like we talk a lot about culture on this podcast. It's kind of like a buzzword, right? But like the way that we do things is things that I would never think of when I was playing. We don't hunch. We just say, get the balls. It's expected that you get the balls. It's expected that you move the goals off the field to the youth spots, because the youth practices after us. And
leave
one
it
of the
better than you found it.
One of the thing that the thing is, people usually assign those tasks to freshmen or JV kids. And the first thing I did when I came in, I was like, no. If you're a captain, you move the goal. If you're a captain, you keep the balls. The balls are your responsibility. If you don't fill back the bucket, it's on you.
Do you do JV captains?
Yes.
So that was one of the first yes. things I was told. Once I got hired, my athletic director said, we don't do sub varsity captains. And I said, okay. And the way he laid it out for me made sense, but I've always done them. And last year I did them, and I actually added one. We had four. I made it five.
But how do you lay it out for you against the case against? I'm curious.
So what he said was so you have a varsity and you have a junior varsity program. And let's say if it wasn't the right mentality of the coach who's the JV coach, and again, if that person doesn't have the right mentality, it falls on the head coach of the varsity program. But
sure.
that kid might not be a varsity captain someday. And God forbid that person's ego inflates. That could ruin the next year or the next level. And I thought it was an interesting take. I have always had them. We always had them at Hendricken with other sports. I think, and I said this to Matt last year at the end of the year with Jamal when we did our exit interviews, and I said, next year we're going to be changing how we do captains. And he was, what do you mean? Because we voted as a staff for the JV. The varsity guys vote for their guys, and then Matt gives final approval. But I said, I'm going to have leaders in mind. But they're not going to be named the first day of practice.
Right.
And I've always taken that approach that you need somebody to lead the stretching or whatever the case may be. But the reality is that as sophomores and freshmen, and some juniors even, if they're playing JV, which I traditionally don't like juniors playing JV, but it can be a necessary.
You kind of have to.
Yeah, of course. You don't want to cut. The last thing any of us need to be doing is cutting a kid's legs when there's an enthusiasm for the game, because they may make an impact like we're all trying to make now. 15 years from now, 10, 5 years, a year from now, who knows? So I want to include that. But I really liked, it was kind of a refreshing approach from what I saw. And everybody's different. So I'm lucky. Yeah. I inherited two captains. The captains I have, pardon me, I'm stumbling over myself. Captains we have at Attleboro, I inherited. And we had a meeting directly after our returners meeting. They're twin brothers. And I will tell you that they are very, very, very focused young men. One of them wants to go into the Navy. He's working hard to line that up. He's already done the requisite things. We had a kid who at Hendricken who is a midshipman this year, or I'm sorry, what do they call him? Plebes, their freshman year in the Navy?
Yeah, I don't think we're supposed to call him.
Okay, well, the cat's out of the bag. But my point is John Wheaton and Harry Wheaton. Harry's a goalie and John's a defenseman, and I've been very impressed with what I've seen in the first month. And I can't do anything with them, right? The MIA rule is you can't really work with them until the season approaches. So
same thing as NHIA.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Are you going to have your JV and your varsity practice together?
Yes. So to a certain degree. So we'll stretch together. We'll do full field drills together. We will do some team stuff, but not all team things. Indy periods for development will be all together in terms of defensemen with defensemen, goalies with goalies, and separating it. But when I'm not going to step on Kevin's toes, I brought him in so that he can develop these guys, Kevin Coppy. And I've really, in the last 6 weeks, have really enjoyed being around him and getting to know him and working with him to plan for this season. And I don't want to step on his toes because I want him to make an impact on the kids as well. Mm-hmm. So he'll have one half of the turf, I'll have the other half. But I don't believe in, hey, Velocity's got the stadium, you're over on the grass. I don't believe in that. We're all part of every single young man who comes out for the lacrosse program at Attleboro is a Blue Bombardier. And I want them to take pride in being a Bombardier.
Yeah. One of the best things that we did 1 year is there's a rule that you have to play X amount of varsity games to get a letter.
Oh, right.
And there's a lot of kids that chase the letter.
Of course.
Like that's what I found. I don't remember that being the case when I was a kid, but like, sure, whatever.
Probably brought to them by their parents.
Sure. But one of the things that we managed to do, and our AD hates us for this, sorry, is we gave everyone a letter. I was like, I went up to the head coach and I was like, everyone's getting a letter because everyone's playing in 3, 4, 5, 6 games, whatever we have to do. He's like, okay. And I was like, and then I turned to the varsity guys and I was like, do you know how that's going to happen? And they're like,
take care of business.
They're like, no. Like, what? How are you going to do that? And I was like, you're going to smash the teams we need to smash so I can put these kids in.
Yep.
And they kind of just looked at me like I was crazy at first. And then I was just like, no, this is the thing that we try to do is not, it's not, the point is not to get up by so much that you embarrass the other team. The point is to get up so you can put kids in a chance to play lacrosse.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's valuable. That's, it's a thing that they have to earn too, because just because you are on the team doesn't mean you get to play in the varsity games. Like, we have so many lefties. It's gross. And it's a great problem to have. Sure. I'm not complaining.
No, I know.
But
I
mean, so many.
We got to import some of them.
But like, do you know what I'm saying though? Like, it's the best problem to have. Yes. But at the same time, the kids are just like, well, when can I get it? I was like, you're a lefty. There's two places for you to play. Where do you want to play? And they're like, well, I'm like, are you better than this kid? Like, let's get you in. And like, that puts on that kid. And I'm like, don't see him as a rival. See him as like someone that you aspire to be and can learn from.
I had a kid come up to me last year and say, in my mind, he was new to the game. He was a freshman. It's the first year he had ever played. He had done some prep stuff during the winter with, at the high school level with the Bulldogs. And he came up to me. It was like, I don't know, third weekend. And he said, Coach, can I play D-Mitty? And I didn't care what hand he was. I said, yeah, get in on the field. Because he cared enough. He gave a damn to get himself on the field. And I'm hoping, I've told all the guys this, do what's necessary. Do your job, right? And this is New England. Everybody says, do your job.
Right.
But do what's necessary to get you on the field. If that is being the hardest worker in practice, I'm not talking about a practice here. I'm talking about somebody who gives a damn. And or you're realizing that your teammates are winded and maybe you just want to be the goal scorer, but you realize that your teammates who are playing two-way, you got to get on the field to help them. You're not just going to be a goal scorer.
Yeah.
I want us to be a selfless and a – one thing I brought forward, you know, from Hendrick, and we always talk about the brotherhood and the network, and one thing I told these guys is you're going to be your brother's keeper. Whether they're your blood brother or your schoolmate or classmate, they're your brother's keeper. And I said, I'm not talking about being a fink. I don't need anybody to be a rat. I don't need anything like that. I mean, somebody's dogging it and you know they got more, talk to them. Push positively. Our mantra for this season, and it may stay for a few seasons, is be the we.
Yeah.
I talked to John Wheaton about this after a Sunday night game, and I stay away because I have to, obviously, but I watch. And I overheard him talking with some of his teammates, and I said, hey, you're putting it on them. Guys, you need to blah, blah, blah. I said, bring it back. We need to do such and such. And he looked at me, he goes, well, I'm just trying to lead, Coach. I said, you're doing a great job as a leader. Now convince them that you believe in them and that you're going to do it together.
I work with the varsity high school coach, and he had this philosophy in terms of JV and varsity. Mm-hmm. We got to work together and develop, but you got to challenge the varsity players and the JV players, mm-hmm. right? Varsity players might get complacent, mm-hmm. right? JV players want to move up the ranks. So you used to have split the field in half and did all the skills with the JV on one half mm-hmm. and the varsity on the other. And he send the players back and forth.
That's what we do.
That's what we do.
Depending upon their performance. Mm-hmm. Hey, Johnny, you just dropped 5 passes. Go down there. Hey, Teddy, you're doing great. Go over there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I thought it was great.
Yeah. We do that all the time. It's my favorite thing to do is like pull a kid up and just like, hey, you got to go over there. And they'll just look at me like, remember the first time I did it, the kid just goes, he was like getting his stuff and he was like, I was like, hey, when we go back out, you're going with the varsity group for this next, it was just fast breaks. And he's a middie, he's a freshman. And he goes, I am?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, you're starting too. So do you know the drill? Because our rule is, and I've said this on the podcast before, if you don't know the drill we're doing, the only rule is you can't be first in line. Because then you can learn it by watching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if you don't know the drill, don't be first in line. And it's the only thing I yelled. If you don't know the drill, get out. If you don't know the drill, don't be first. Gotta watch it.
Yeah, he never called the team varsity or JV. He called team A and team B.
Oh, that's good.
And the other thing, when the kids moved up to varsity during practice or team A, their look on their face was just unbelievable. They're like you said, very excited.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it really brings a good competition between the var, and it brings them closer together. Yeah. And then the A players, when they go down, they end up working at it. Mm. And their focus level
humbles them pretty quickly.
It humbles them very quickly.
So kind of to work that back with what you said, like if you don't know the drill, don't be the first in line. What I've told guys, whether we're doing youth skills at Bulldogs or even high school practices, you drop the ball, pick the ball up, be the next guy in line.
Yeah.
Don't be the first guy. Be the second guy. Just get back in line.
Yeah.
You don't have to run all the way to the back. Now you've lost the last 5 minutes of practice. Go get your rep. You screwed up. The mistakes happened. We want, as coaches, we want you to screw up.
Yeah.
We want you to make a mistake. Then we can do our job.
That's how you learn. That's how you get better. I mean, all games are made of mistakes, right? And you have to limit the mistakes. Question, have you always wanted to be a coach?
So I guess the easy answer is yes. So when I was a dean, I tried to follow John Jackson around as much as possible.
John Jackson, good friend of mine, good man.
I thought I wanted to be an athletic director. And for whatever reason, I've always had men in my life who weren't either my family. Going back to basketball at St. Augustine's in Providence, like Kevin McKenna and Brian Holt, guys who I still look up to this day. And I can have a permanent cigar with both of them and talk, and they're like uncles to me. Whether I already mentioned Keith and Jamal, Matt, who was on with you guys last year, he's one of my best friends. He's also somebody I look up to, and I learned a ton about temperance last year. Don't immediately blow your cork. Take it all in. And so, yes, but no. I didn't think that I would be doing it the way I am. And ironically enough, I didn't go looking for this job. It kind of just came together. I was very, very happy at Hendricken. I knew my role. I knew I was making a difference. And between the youth program, between where the high school program is, the HR specialist, her last name was my last name when I looked it up, and I'm like, all right, this is a coincidence, weird.
So at Attleboro.
Yeah. It was just weird. And I had no intentions of becoming a varsity head coach at any other place at Hendricken. And when Dave Hadlin left to go back to Salve as the OC a year ago, August, I pushed and stumped and did whatever I could to make sure Matt got that job and wanted to be his right hand and help him in any way, shape, or form. And then this job came, and my wife, she wrote down on a piece of paper, she's like, these aren't coincidences. Go for it. Someone, I'm Irish Catholic. I'm in church every weekend. It's one of those things where sometimes the plans are written and you don't know how to read them.
Right.
And so the easy answer is I was a high school basketball coach before all this. I coached with the Nike program with Expressions for a while, and I was at Hope High School, Mount Hope, and Hendricken and all that for basketball. But back then when I was younger, I chomped at the bit. I wanted to do it my way. I had this vision. When I came back into the game of lacrosse, I just wanted to be back in the game. I always had a blast being on the court and helping the kids and making a difference, or at least trying to. When I got back on the field, and my wife brought this up to me, she always saw me happy on the court, but being outside and coaching lacrosse, that, like we talked about, I didn't play in high school.
Yeah.
I picked up a stick by necessity. The real love of the game is there, and that's where I want to be like, okay, how do we propel that forward in Attleboro? And there's a lot of things that are in line that I think we're going to be really good over the next few years.
Well, it's great you have that basketball background. My high school coach was my best coach I've ever had in any – well, I shouldn't say – he definitely the best lacrosse coach, one of the best coaches I've ever had in my life. But my best lacrosse coach played basketball at North Carolina.
Boy.
He knew the game, and he knew – the skill sets was very important. We knew the X's and O's because it's the same game. People talk about lacrosse is like soccer, like hockey. You can talk about some of the components of each sport that carry over for lacrosse, but basketball's the same game. Really is.
It's touching upon that, sorry.
No, it's fine.
So someone from afar that I really was like, well, I gotta learn as much as I can from this person, and then he shows up in my backyard, basically. Bobby Benson. So Bobby gets hired summer of 22, right? And that August, I'm knocking on the door, and I accidentally walked into a staff meeting, and we've talked a bunch, and we'll send each other stuff, and I'm going, I'm just a guy. But he takes it from the basketball side of it, and he was one of my references for this job, and he's just become a friend, and it's nice to talk with someone who can talk the X's and O's from a basketball viewpoint instead of a hockey perspective or a soccer perspective or anything, or quite frankly, just being a lax guy.
Yeah.
And the other guy that has been huge with my getting me to understand the MIAA and understanding all the rules so I don't step on my tongue, if you will, has been Daggett Morse.
Yeah.
So
I'll tell you, I don't think people ever think of this, but when you think about lacrosse really only has one more player on the field versus basketball.
Yeah.
Because when you're on the offensive end, you have 6 versus 5, and on the defensive end, you have 6 versus 5. Basketball players can run the court, but it's in terms of X's and O's, working picks and rolls and double teams and working for a good shot, getting back to the hole for defense.
There's a diagram company or however you – I'm not going to give out free publicity.
Sure.
But that I signed up for when I was coaching basketball. And I still get out of baseline out-of-bounds plays, sideline out-of-bounds. They're just restart spots. That's all it is. So now I add a sixth person. And I'm drawing stuff, and my wife looks at me like I'm crazy.
Yeah, I mean, Jack, how many I-stack plays did you run when you were younger? Seriously. Like, everyone stacks, and then we break off the baseline. Like, that was how – it's funny because, like, that's how I learned how to play. My lacrosse coach was like that.
With the hidden ball.
Yeah, exactly. Or armadillo. Everyone's right. That's, like, the same thing. But, like, just going back what you're saying, like – obviously, I think you said this to me. You were like, he met me at the Mass Youth thing, and me and Dan Arestia were there, who also writes for LectureRoom.com. And he goes, he just looks at Dan and he goes, I thought you'd be a little shorter. And then he looks at me and he goes, I thought you read really much taller. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not tall. Like, everyone knows. But, you know, you're talking about basketball. Dude, I love basketball. Basketball is my first love. I was, and I've said this on the podcast, everyone laughs every time I say it, so yes, get ready to laugh. I was this height in fifth grade.
Right.
So guess who was
starting center. Yeah.
Guess who was, I was. Starting I was center. A monster. We won titles
in
New Hampshire. Wow. And I was like, I remember, and I went to a basketball camp when I was in sixth, seventh grade, and the guy that's there is like, all right, we're sorting into positions, like, what do you play? I'm like, I'm a center. And he's like, the dude laughed. And I was like, what? I'm playing center. He's like, ah, man, so I got to tell you, you're not a center. So I couldn't dribble.
So, all right. So this is it's obviously off topic because it's not lacrosse. Yeah. But
no, it's great.
Is it, were you in a zone defense? Because like one of my high school best friends happens to wear green and white on almost every night at the Garden now.
Yeah.
Joe Mazzulla was the back line of the 1-3-1. Yeah. And Joey and I have known each other since we were kids. And so he was technically a center for Huggins.
Zone
so
and give go.
Curious.
Yeah. Zone and give go offense. So like then I got to I'm trying to play in high school. Didn't make the high school team, made the town. We had town.
Makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, you get it. Yes. But like I love basketball. Like I played I don't think I can play again because my knee. Yeah. Like I might play again when it's 100% better, but that's not gonna be for a while.
It's gonna become Steph Curry now.
I love it. No, I can't This is the thing. I can't shoot.
Oh, all right.
I can do everything else. And people are always like, what the all right, I'm last picked every time, and then we play. And it's like, my job, I took the attackman's mentality of, all right, if I want to get in on this offense, I have to get you the ball. So that's what I did. And that's the relationship of basketball to lacrosse is move the ball. Move the ball. What do you're going to yell this, just so you know, your whole life as a lacrosse coach, move the ball.
Yeah, one more.
It's the same thing.
Great quote. Let the ball do the running.
Yes.
Yeah. Ball moves faster in the air than it does in your feet.
Yes.
Whether it's in basketball, soccer, lacrosse.
Yeah.
Let the ball do the running.
100%.
Yep.
That's how you do it.
Coach, great job.
Yeah. Jack, thank you.
Very nice to meet you. Pleasure meeting you. Good luck at Attleboro.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's been a pleasure having you. And
same. This is because I'm looking over at Yaz's computer. And I can't believe we just talked for 45 minutes. I probably talked about 40 of them, but that's okay.
You probably did.
We want the coaches to have fun in, man. Hey.
No, it's always good to have a coach that talks because Kyle only has like one or two questions prepared usually have like 8 or 9.
Are you serious?
On the drive up here, I was listening to Dags.
I'm going
to
ask this one question. I hope he goes for 10 because then I got an audible one. You know what I mean?
This is slander.
It's almost time for those beverages.
I kept Dan and him late at the convention. They wanted to leave, and we just kept talking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love talking. What are you talking about?
That's what he does for
I love part you. Of I love you. God, I don't know why, but I do.
I know.
In your program, one last thing. He and I go toe-to-toe most tournaments.
Yes.
John Waite.
Outstanding.
I love competing against
him. He's a great guy.
He teaches the kids the right thing.
He does. He really does.
So kudos to him.
Yeah. Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks again for listening to New England Lacrosse Journals, Chasing the Goal podcast. For Jack Piattelli, I'm Kyle Devitt. See you next time.